Well, Lawrence Eales is joining us, our first guest this morning. Talk about a horse called Battle Camp, a lightly raced three-year-old that's only had the one start along with his business. Lawrence, good morning to you.
Morning, Andrew.
Where do we find you this morning? Where are you hustling around?
Sydney today, Andrew.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, how's this horse progressing? We saw him only once, Battle Camp. He was ultra impressive to win at Bendigo back in October, coming off the pace and running away from rivals. What have you done with him since?
Oh, look, we gave Battle Camp a pretty good break after that. Brought him back in and done a little bit more work with him. And we've sent him out again, and he's due to come back in. He's a very immature horse, Battle Camp. Won his first race on pure raw ability.
Yep.
We certainly didn't want to sort of push him too hard. So we've given him a good break, and we're looking at sending him towards the Queensland Carnival.
Okay, so that win at Bendigo, it sounds like you were a bit surprised by it.
Look, we didn't think he was still going to win that well. Like I said, he's a very green horse. And we're certainly very impressed by his win and the way he put the other horses away.
Yeah, for sure. Has Lee and Anthony Friedman trained the horse, obviously, at Flemington? Have you got a feel with them on what sort of distance is going to suit him when he does mature?
Look, we would have thought he'd go to sort of Derby distance and maybe further. So certainly think that he's got the ability to go up to at least 2,500 metres at this stage.
What would you be thinking of then in the Brisbane Widder? Is a Derby going to be too quick for him in the Brisbane Widder?
No, we'd probably think that'd be right up his alley.
No, look, if he's done what we saw at Bendigo on raw ability, as you explained, and he matures over time, and there's no better stable, they give them time, Lee and Anthony, they've got the properties to do that. That he's a really nice horse for you, Lawrence.
He is. We're certainly looking forward to getting him back to the races.
Do you think we'll see him, will it be straight into Brisbane or maybe something late, Sydney or Melbourne?
I'd say maybe, something late, Melbourne or Sydney, and then up to Brisbane.
Yep. How's the rest of the team, mate? You've got Lawrence Hill Syndications up and about. How's it all going?
Yeah, it's going okay. I suppose my model's more based on the classic type horses, so plenty of patience there. The more sort of the three-year-olds and up.
Yep.
Battle Camp, a few others. We've got Vicious running today as well at Pakenham.
Right.
Another three-year-old, and we've got another couple of nice shockings in there with Lee and Dreaded and Sickening coming through over the next couple of months as well. So the syndication business should start seeing the rewards of the few winners coming through over the autumn carnival.
Well, Vicious was pretty good, wasn't it, first up?
Yeah, no, it was pretty good. Took a little bit to work him out, and he seems to like being a bit fresh. And I think his last win over 1,000. He's done that, I suppose, on pure ability, but he's probably going to be better over 1,200.
Well, today's 1,200, and it's a field of 10 or 11. You've drawn a little bit awkward, but, it was a nice win, and if he's made progression up to 1,200, that's going to be a positive.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty interesting. The Nikonis seem to be, winning over a trip as well, which is quite remarkable considering the style of the sprinter.
Yep. And the Magic Million sale, mate, were you able to sneak away with any up there?
Yeah, I was able to sneak away with a nice Street Cry colt out of his last crop, so I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, mate, we wish you the best with them all. I hope Vicious can continue on. I think his co-trainer, Tom Dabernick's about to join us, so I'll ask him a bit more for our listeners. But good luck today with Vicious running in that second last at Pakenham, and we look forward to seeing Battle Camp over time heading towards the Brisbane Winter Carnival. Thanks a lot, Lawrence.
Good on you, Andrew. Thanks.
Lawrence Eales joining us there. Tom Dabernick is online now from Lindsay Park in Euroa. Morning to you, Tom.
Good morning.
Just the way it's worked out, mate, talking with Lawrence there. What are you thinking about Vicious today at Pakenham?
I think he's got a good chance. It's nice to be training a horse for Lawrence, and Look, he won at Cranbourne over 1,000, so I think today over 1,200 will suit him better. And yeah, he's done very well since his first up win, so definitely have to rate him a good chance.
Yeah, that's good. Race 7, number 10 today. I note that tomorrow, Stay With Me's going to barrier trial for you and David and the owners at Randwick. Is this going to be a total Sydney preparation with her?
It's looking like it, definitely at this stage. So it looks a pretty tough trial tomorrow, actually. There's some good ones in it. But, look, well, it's more about giving her some practice on that leg again with a possible kickoff of running in the light fingers. It's a bit hard to say after that, but maybe a race like the Surround and then on to maybe possible Coolmore.
Okay. How's she done, given that she raced in all those competitive races during the spring? She won the 1,000 guineas, as we know, and then went around in the Meyer Classic and only got beaten a small margin, making up big ground late. How has she developed?
Yeah, look, I must admit she's definitely come back, and it's always hard to say that they've improved, but her work has been excellent, and she's a really classy filly that I think she's got another couple of big wins in her. So hopefully everything goes to plan up in Sydney, and she races as well on that leg as she does down in Melbourne.
I guess you've been able to do at your property there, you're able to mix it up and start that Sydney preparation, I guess, going into this?
Yeah, we've been training her on the Sydney leg at home. And she actually, as a two-year-old, had one run up in Sydney.
Yeah,
she got it all wrong, but... yeah, look, I think by the time, you know, she has a trial and then she can have another good bit of work up there and a couple of races, she'll be spot on. So,
looking forward to seeing her. She's exciting. Sacred Eye, what's the stable doing with that other classy filly?
Yeah, she seems to be coming back well. She had a jump out at the farm this morning. We'll probably keep her in Melbourne for her first couple, maybe kick her off in the Vanity. Australian guineas, and then possibly look to go up to Sydney. But she's going well. She didn't perform in the Oaks, but it was that day that we'd had a lot of rain and the track was very wet at Flemington. It was the going that affected her, not the distance. Yeah.
Well, I think that was heavy nine. I mean, you look at the runs in the Norman Robinson and the Edward Manifold. I mean, she's a really progressive filly, you'd feel, and still lightly raced, having only the five starts.
Yeah, look, I think there's still improvement to come with her, and she's got a great temperament and very sound, and so hopefully we can have a good autumn with her.
Mate, I know spoke with David off-air last week about this filly, but Risque, I think from New Zealand, has only recently joined you, but gee, you've got a nice one here to work with.
Yes, I've watched all the replays, and she looks to go on any sort of going, and she always seems to be running right through the line when she wins. So she's really settled in well, looks pretty straightforward at home, what we've seen of her. We're going to trial her at Flemington next Friday, and we'll possibly kick her off in the Vanity also, maybe Australian guineas, and then head up to Sydney maybe for a race like the Vinery. But we also were considering maybe the Kevin Hayes, which is on the 13th, which is a 1,200, which would be running her short of her trip. But she's in good order, and I think we're definitely going to see her win a nice race through the autumn.
I think the one thing with her, Tom, is that, and you mentioned that there, is the way that she charges through the line. I mean, she's been winning from 1,200 up to a mile, and she just seems to be strong in any of them.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can only go on her track work at home, but she's got a turn of foot, and she'd eat your arm off nearly. She's lovely and sound, and just seems to cope with everything. So I think she's... I'm glad she's in our stable and not someone else's.
Yeah, no, exactly. New Zealand filly now with David and Tom Risque. Mate, Criterion, how's he progressing?
He's good. He's here at the farm. He's enjoying going out in the paddock during the day. He'll probably follow a similar program than he did last autumn, kicking off in the Canterbury Stakes, George Ryder, and Queen Elizabeth. but he's in good order.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we know how sound he is, and we know how strong he can be, aiming up towards defending that crown in the Queen Elizabeth. Hey, mate, just before I let you go, I know we've spoken about the horse of Lawrence Hills here, Vicious. Any other winners today?
I think he'd actually probably be the best of them. Those Pakenham meetings are getting strong fields.
Yep.
And he probably on paper looks our best chance.
And I've got to hesitate now. I'm looking towards Flemington on Saturday. You've got a few running there. Can I put the mental block on and say what's your best there?
We've got Tashby, who's the last start winner. Yeah. He's up to open company now and racing over 2,000, but he always runs well at Flemington. We've got King Capel Chief, who's in an 1,800. He won't be too far away. So we've got sort of even chances at Flemington throughout the day without having one that's a good thing.
Claudia Jean returns?
Yeah, she won on debut down the straight. She hasn't raced for a fair while, so she may just take a race. But her track work, she's been working really well. But it'd be good to see her back under race conditions.
Yep, nice type, Claudia Jean, going forward. Hey, mate, thanks for your time, Tom. Just thought we'd get an update on a few of those, and we'll watch for that trial tomorrow with Stay With Me. As you say, mate, it's a trial, but it's a pretty hot one.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
Good on you, Tom. Tom Dabernick joining us there with the very latest on the Lindsay Park team from Euroa. Well, I'm now getting up on my computer here, a name that it's asking me to check if I've got the right way that I'm typing it. It's Josh Parr. I mean, it's four letters both ways. Surely it's got to be working. He's online, though. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. How you doing?
Mate, it's coming up saying you haven't ridden since December 12. I mean, come on. Jockeys don't take that long a break, surely.
No, that's right. I've actually been battling with a hip injury, a hip issue that had come to a head on December the 12th. I had a few rides that day, and I was in really bad pain, so I stopped immediately, and I've been seeking medical advice since then. I'm just waiting on the surgeon's opinion on what needs to happen with the hip to get me back in shape.
Well, you're not the first and won't be the last. Having hip problems being a jockey, they're just so important. I mean, I don't want to say this is going to happen to you, but the latest one's Michael Walker that had one just pre-Christmas, a total hip replacement.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's just amazing the amount of jockeys that this is happening to at such a young age. Like, I'm still in my 20s, nearly into my 30s, but it's such a young age to be having hip issues. And I can assure you, and as well as the other guys will, it's very, very painful.
Yeah, it would be. Because, mate, you're just using them in every movement on a horse.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think, too, just being that little bit taller, my body's just under full strain at all times while sitting on a horse.
Yep.
So it's all just come to a head, like I said, on December 12th, and I pulled up stumps and wanted to get it seen to as quick as possible and get back into proper shape as quick as possible. I didn't want to let it go and it become a much bigger problem down the track.
Okay, so you've seeked, have you had scans, the scans to show doctors what it is like?
Yeah, I have, and I'm just waiting. The problem's been it happening over Christmas. The best surgeons have been out of play. They've been on holidays themselves. So just waiting for them to get back into work, and then obviously catching up on the backlog that they've got over the Christmas break. I've just been waiting very patiently, Andrew, to hear back and see what they're going to do with it, whether it needs an operation or whatever.
And mate, just in general terms, away from racing, is it sore when you walk away from a horse?
No, this is where it's really frustrating. It's I can walk around. I'm as good at, like, you see me walk around the street, you'd think there's nothing wrong with this guy. What's he playing at? But I'm fine to do anything else. As soon as I get up on a horse and get up into that position with my feet up in the stirrup iron, and it takes the load of my body weight under full strain is where it's just agonising. So it's really frustrating. It's not like I've broken my leg or I've broken my arm, and you can see the damage. You can see that you can't get out there and compete. But if I try to, I'm just in too much pain.
No, I understand. It's amazing. We had Larry Cassidy on yesterday, Josh, and Larry's probably on the brink of retiring pretty well. He was out walking. He's had issues with his leg and had to undergo an operation mid last year. And ever since then, he's been champing at the bit to get back onto the saddle like you are. And the doctor said, go back and start strengthening up your body. He was out walking and he actually has a small hairline fracture of his tibia bone, and he's now got bone issues, you know, that will prevent him from riding again. I mean, it's you know, you put your body through so much.
Yeah, that's terrible news about Larry. That's very unfortunate. A guy that's had a fantastic career, and that's very unfortunate to hear. Yeah. But you're totally correct. It's the workload that we put under our bodies each and every day. It's, something's got to give at some point, I suppose.
And even, I know I'm probably pushing the extreme here, but in the barrier stalls, things happen. And last Saturday at Newcastle, Grant Buckley has taken all the skin off his thumb knuckle while in the barriers when the horse played up, reared up, and Grant's having the week off just to recover from that. So, you know, you're on horses and anything can happen, and it's all just different things can happen.
Yeah, exactly right. It's just it's the nature of the beast, isn't it? We're in such a physical sport, at times a very dangerous sport, and there's bound to be problems. So it's unfortunate for each and every one of us that have to go through this. And by no means do I think I'm the only one that has to go through this sort of thing. Every jockey has to at some point in their their career. So look, I'll be
you'll be guided by the doctors.
That's right. My main aim is to get it 100% right. Get back and riding in good fashion again.
Mate, we'll stay in contact and see what happens over the next couple of weeks. I hope things can get worked out ASAP and we can see Josh Parr back in the saddle riding around Sydney Town. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks very much for the call, Andrew.
Good on you, Josh. Josh Parr joining us there, running through why we haven't seen him since December 12. Spoke with Darren Weir this morning about a few of his leading horses, and he's got a brand new horse into his stable away from Bob Peters' horses, but another WA horse. I talk of Blackheart Bart, formerly with Vaughan Sigley, came over about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's had a gallop this morning at Ballarat. No sign of any race at this stage. Maybe the CF4, but we'll wait and see on that first up at 1,400 metres. But Blackheart Bart had a gallop this morning at Ballarat and continues to do well. So we'll monitor that as we go. A couple more for Darren Weir. Mahuta and Palantino, really progressive three-year-olds we know of. Mahuta will run a fortnight on Saturday over 1,400 metres in Melbourne. It will have one more run into the Australian Guineas. That's Mahuta. And the other one, Palantino, a really progressive three-year-old for Darren Weir. It's going to barrier trial, strangely enough, in the next hour at Ballarat with Sacred Stratum Star, I should say. It's going to run Saturday week over 1,200. Then a fortnight later goes to 1,400, and then third up will be the Australian Guineas. Brad Rewilla will ride both of them in their lead-up races, Mahuta and Palantino, and then they'll work out who rides who when they get to the Australian Guineas. So looking forward to seeing Mahuta. It'll be a fortnight Saturday, and Palantino will be Saturday week over 1,200 metres. Damien Oliver's our next guest on Racing HQ. Happy New Year to you, Ollie.
Thanks, Andrew. How are you?
Very well. I saw you at the Gold Coast. You got through that hectic week?
Yeah. It was no problem. I only had a few rides up there, but it was a great week up there with the family.
Well, you take the family. It is that sort of place, and you rode on the Saturday. But it's an unbelievable week for people that haven't been there and captured what Magic Millions is all about. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, it sure is. It's a huge event these days, and with the yearling sale and obviously the races as well with the huge $10 million prize money. So, yeah, and it's while the school holidays is on, so it's an opportunity to take the family up and enjoy that as well.
Ollie, just wanted to update for our listeners on the two-year-olds in particular that you're around. Extreme Choice and Flying Artie seemed to me the main two. Were you on Extreme Choice yesterday in that jump out?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I jumped him out yesterday.
How'd he go?
Yeah, I was really happy with him. He's very precocious type of two-year-old, and he jumped well, and we trialled up from the 2,000 metres up to the 1,200 and the back straight there of Caulfield on the course proper, and he trialled well.
He won that English bonus race, of course, back in the early part of December. Glenn Schofield rode him in Sydney on that occasion. Do you see? Have you been along with him along the way? Has he changed much?
No, that's I've only ridden him a few times. It's the first time I've been on him out of the barriers. But I have seen him at Caulfield before, and he's always shown quite a bit of speed. And I thought he did a great job up in Sydney, having had a trial, I think, a week before in Melbourne, and a week in Sydney, and then back up for the race. So he did a great job to overcome all that, and he seems to have freshened up quite well and come back well.
The other one is Flying Artie for Mick Price also. It's had the one run back in the Maribyrnong Plate and ran second on that occasion behind Power Trip. It finished off good that day. You've done some work on this colt?
Yeah, I have. He's a nice colt. He's certainly got he's got a bit of scope, this horse. I think he's not just a two-year-old. He gets over a bit of ground, and I think he's has the potential to get over a little bit further too. He's a really nice horse.
I think Extreme Choice is being set towards February 6, a couple of races on that day, and we'll wait and see. Do you know where Flying Artie might be going?
Not certain yet. Mick Price, the trainer, has been over in New Zealand, so yep. I don't think he's locked anything in yet. But I'd say he'd be heading probably towards the Preludes and the Blue Diamond. That would be the logical choice, but you know, I'll wait to hear from Mick.
What about Jamaica and Petite Falou? I reckon they're a couple that you might be looking forward to being on too for Kira Ma.
Yeah, a couple of lovely fillies there. Both come back really well and they're progressing well. Jamaica trialled yesterday as well and she's come back really well, happy with her. I think she'll kick off in a 1400 metre race in the next couple of weeks and then probably go towards the Guineas in Melbourne and then head on up to Sydney.
Yeah, the Vanity looks to be first up. And Petite Falou, talking with Kieran off air, Kieran Maher, that she's just a little bit behind at this stage, so maybe a little bit of catch up and probably heads to Sydney.
Yeah, there's a lot of options for her. She's, you know, she's got a lot of speed as well, and I think, you know, it's just up to Kieran where he wants to step her out.
Yeah.
And what he wants to take on, but you know, got a good opinion of her as well.
Just a quick one. I should have asked you on the two-year-olds. There, we had the previews the other day. Sort of nothing jumped out of the tree. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the next two or three weeks in more lead-up races.
Yeah, I thought. It was a step up from some of the two-year-olds we've seen prior to Saturday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I expect them just to get stronger from now with the two-year-old races coming around, because there's not a lot of two-year-old races of any consequence before last Tuesday it was, Australia
yep.
Day.
Yep.
And but, you know, I expect the competition just to get stronger from now. But I thought there were some nice runners there on Tuesday. And, you know, yeah, as I said, it'll just get tougher from now on.
Mate, just a quickie. You've got some nice rides on Saturday. Miss Soft Hands, Second Bullet, and King's Command. They're all in winning form.
Yeah, they sure are. Nice chances. Second Bullet was very impressive the other day. King's Command's coming through off a couple of Geelong wins, but he's progressing well. And Miss Soft Hands, she won well last start too. Steps up to the mile with a bit of weight, but she's in good form too.
Yeah, three excellent horses at the moment. Hey, Ollie, thanks for your time. Just updating on a couple of those. Sounds like the two-year-old pitcher, Extreme Choice and Flying Artie, and we'll see how they head out over the next few weeks. Thanks for your time, mate.
No worries, Andrew.
Good on you, Damien. Damien Oliver joining us there, updating on particularly those two-year-olds. And tomorrow morning at Flemington, Calliope for Godolphins having a jump out ahead of running in the Blue Diamond Prelude. So we'll cover that tomorrow with some news. Racing HQ on Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. Over the last few weeks, we've had a great deal of interest in the Frankel progeny coming through. And of course, a couple of days ago, $1.3 million was paid for a Frankel through the New Zealand Karaka sale. Joining us is Lord Ted Grimthorpe. We spoke to him when he was in Melbourne for the Melbourne Spring on behalf of Frankel's owner, Khalid Abdullah. Teddy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Andrew.
Looking forward to seeing the first of the Frankels. They're going to be in the UK. What's the feedback on them, if I can ask you at this early stage, Teddy?
Well, I mean, judging from what we've got, I think we're pretty excited about them. They seem to have great actions, great temperaments. The ones that went to auction in Europe averaged just over 500,000 sterling, so they were pretty well received. I think the top was 1.7 million euros. And it's just sort of the beginning of his new career. It's incredibly exciting.
When, I guess, the expectation, there's lots of Frankels around, but when do you think we'll see the first of them on the track?
There's no doubt the expectation is enormous. And, of course, that comes with the territory. If you have a horse like that, people expect him to be performing from the word go. I would think that ours would be out sort of late May, June, July, August. I would think that they would start appearing then, and even the later maturer ones, sort of September, October, rarely. And the sort of more precocious ones would be out sort of middle of May, end of May, June time, I would think.
How many have you got? How many Frankels at Banstead Manor?
Not enough. not enough, but we would have about 18 eventually, I would think, that could go into training.
Yeah, okay. Look, it's the belief, obviously, he was a stunning horse, a beautiful mover on the track, that I think everyone does want him to pass it on, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the sort of goodwill he has is really exceptional. And, of course, the interest in him, far from diminishing, if anything, has sort of escalated, really, which is quite extraordinary for a horse who's now done sort of three seasons at start. That's the extraordinary thing about him, as a phenomenon worldwide. And it's brilliant that five are going to Sydney and Easter, and so everyone can get a feel of it.
Well, it was interesting, the one a couple of days ago in New Zealand, you would have been focused in on that a group have come together, haven't they? Like Coolmore.
Yeah. It was a sort of eclectic mix, really. It was fantastic that so many different people sort of got involved with him.
Yeah, for sure.
I know Peter Veller was very excited about him beforehand, really, and he sent me the video and everything, and he looked a bit of a star.
And the one thing there, I note that he's kept some share in the ownership as well with the breeding giants and the other people. So I think that tells us that he expects some pretty good things going forward.
He certainly does.
Yeah.
He certainly does.
You mentioned
that. I didn't see Jamie Roth at English tell me that that they were really excited about what they were going to offer. So hopefully the sort of momentum and the interest will continue.
We were about to have a chat with Duncan Grimley, who's the racing manager for John Singleton, and he sent some very impressive types a couple of years ago. The first season, he sent More Joyous and More Strawberries, and the second season, he sent back Samantha Miss and Deirdre. So Singo certainly wants that blood of Frankel.
Yeah. I think, again, this is the phenomenon of a horse like that, he's just sort of caught the imagination in every way. He's got the speed and the temperament and the class and everything else. And if he can just pass on a good deal of that or a part of that, I think he's going to make a very exciting stallion.
All right. Well, we look forward to seeing them. As you say, they could come out at any time. They're all with different stables in the UK, but certainly from the grass season. When does the grass season start again?
Really starts end of March, beginning of April.
Okay, so from then on is
really,
the...
but there's the sort of their 5 furlong, 2 year old races start, and then 6 furlongs later on in May, and from then on it sort of just keeps on building.
Yeah, we can't wait to see them. Thanks for staying up and having a chat. Hope you're well there. Thanks a lot, Teddy.
Yeah, great to speak to you, Andrew. Take care.
Lord Teddy Grimthorpe joining us there on behalf of the owner of Frankel. Duncan Grimley does join us, the racing manager for John Singleton. And as I said, Duncan, you've got a More Joyous and a More Strawberries, and then you sent back the second year. So Singo wanted to jump into Frankel pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was an idea we came up with, you know, while we saw Frankel racing, Andrew. And, you know, we had a couple of maiden mares in the first year that fit the bill, and we had a couple of mares that weren't in foal the second year that got sent over there.
Now, from the first year that you sent, it was More Joyous got a filly and More Strawberries got a colt. What's the plan with those?
Yes, that's right. The filly, John Will Race, and the colt is in the east of yearling sales. And probably the year after, Samantha Miss, who had a filly, will keep that, and Deirdre, who had a colt, he'll probably go through the sales system as well.
Okay, so he's keen to keep the fillies from, I guess, a future point of view as well as racing.
Yeah, I mean, from those families, we normally keep the fillies anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is just an extension of that.
And what are they like?
The More Joyous filly is Chestnut, which surprised us all completely when that came out. we were a bit shocked with that one. But she's a lot stronger version of a mother. She's well grown for her first foal, and very happy with her. The colt, he's compact. He's a lot like his mother, More Strawberries, more so than Frankel, I would say. Correct, good athlete, and, you know, we're looking forward to the sales with him.
Goes through, just found it here, day three, which, I mean, it's still a while off, but it's April 7. It's lot 423, so there'll be a lot of interest, given what Frankel showed at the New Zealand sale a couple of days ago, Duncan.
Yeah, I would imagine so, Andrew. I mean, like, I think there's five going through at the Easter sales, of which he's one. So I would imagine they'll garner a lot of interest and hopefully a lot of support as well. There'll be a lot of Europeans and Americans out who have seen him race firsthand. So, you know, hopefully he'll sell well.
Two colts and three fillies go through the English Easter sale by Frankel. Cressfield are putting through a colt and a filly. Widden have got a filly that was bred in some of Southern Hemisphere time and then sent down here. And Darren Dance has got a filly from Victoria as well by Frankel out of a South African mare. So two colts and three fillies. I reckon they'll be certainly spoken about before we get there.
Yeah, they will be. I think Darren's horse he bought in foal to Frankel at a mare sale, I think.
Okay, right.
I know Bruce sent two mares up there like we did. Yeah. I actually sent one and then bought one up there. And I think Peter Vella sent two in his first year as well.
Well, they're exciting times ahead, and we look forward to seeing the More Strawberries colt by Frankel going through, as I say, at the English Easter Sale, lot 423. It is on that occasion. Hey, mate, thanks for joining us this morning. Good luck.
Thanks, Andrew.
Duncan Grimley joining us there, the racing manager for John Singleton. 5 to 10, Racing HQ. Well, he's been on everywhere this morning, but why not come on a racing show? Because he loves his racing. I talk of the Allan Border medalist, Dave Warner. Morning, Dave. Congratulations.
Morning, Andrew. Thanks, mate.
Well done. A bit of a surprise to many. How did you feel your 12 months had been?
Yeah, definitely. I was overwhelmed. I was very shocked and surprised, and I thought Steve would have taken it out, but obviously my form is a little bit better on my peers' behalf, they thought. So, look, it's obviously a great privilege and honour to represent the award, and I'm still totally in shock.
Hey, tell me, you're travelling very much overseas from next week, I think, isn't it? Or when do you leave for New Zealand?
Yeah, I'm just at the airport now, heading back home for a day and a half, and then I fly out Saturday mid-afternoon to New Zealand and to prepare for the one days and the tests over there.
Now, you're into your horses, you love your horses, you race a few. When are we going to see Dave Warner buy a Frankel? You got to get a Frankel. We've just been talking about it, mate. Have you got a mil to spend?
No, I don't. I think I might have to wait my time. but I do have one trialling on tomorrow morning. Friday, I think it is. So,
yeah, tomorrow. That's tomorrow.
Yeah, see how he goes, Sabrarian.
Okay, so he's in the trials tomorrow, and you've got a...
Heat 15, I think.
Heat 15. So I'm just getting it up here as Heat 15, which is, Sabirin, Gay Waterhouse here. What's the breeding of this one, Dave? It's a Sebring.
Yeah, that's a Sebring, out of Anna Barbarian. So he'll probably need two trials, I reckon, to get up and going, and then we'll have to see how he handles it and hopefully pulls up all right.
And you've got a mixture around the traps, mate. You love your horses. Where did the interest come from?
Yeah, look, it's just been a passion of mine for the last couple of years, and I've really enjoyed just watching it and doing some form. So, I just have a keen interest in racing.
And Steve Smith, the skipper, he's got an interest too in one or two, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does. He's got a couple with Chris Waller. He had one with Les Bridge, and
I think he's got a $500,000 Lonro, which I don't think is going as well as you'd like.
Oh, fair dinkum. I hope it rebounds for him. He's probably sitting next to you, is he? You're getting into him.
No, he's not next to me. No. Usually if he is, I'll put a bit more crap on him.
Well done, mate. Congratulations. We look forward to seeing your racing stock in the next couple of months out and about while you're travelling overseas. Congratulations again last night on winning the award.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it, mate.
Good on you, Dave. Dave Warner Cheers. Joining us there, winning the Allan Border medalist. And there's one sportsman who absolutely loves his racing, just like Rick Ponting did with his greyhound racing. He loves it, didn't he, Mark Duclos?
Certainly did. He was, from a very young age, he was a regular at Launceston Dogs. I remember hosting a Launceston Cup with Ricky one night back in the late 90s and that, and he's had a long involvement with greyhound racing, particularly with Jeff Britton, who's trained a number of runners for him, and also Dale Hammersley down in Tasmania.
Now, Saturday night, this is a cracker at Wentworth Park. Which race do you want to talk about first?
I think we might talk about the National Futurity, because a greyhound by the name of Dinah Maddie, trained by Andrea Daly, it was the modicum of a good old-fashioned plonk last week. It was $12 into around $3 and duly landed the prize, running $29.70. They took plenty out, I can tell you that. I spoke to a couple of the boys that were responsible for the plunge, and they were very happy with themselves. Got a dream run through at the first turn last week, Benz, from box number two. A couple of dogs led. They ran very wide, and Dinah Maddie got a run through at the first turn, which set her up for victory. Look, she's well boxed again in box three, because the greyhound's drawn in directly inside, and Natalie DD and also my girl Chloe have got a good early pace. Just thought a greyhound by the name of Cash in Motion, trained by Robbie Cook up in the Northern Rivers in New South Wales. Look, it's currently $6.50 with tab.com.au fixed odds. It's got a greyhound called Machali Mia, drawn directly outside of it, also trained by Mitchie Northville up in the Northern Rivers. It's a greyhound that will run straight, and Cash in Motion is a high-class greyhound that's Albion Park. It's broken 30 seconds up there on seven occasions. It's got a PB up there of 29.79. She was a finalist in the Group 2 Gosford Gold Cup. She ran the slowest time of the heats last week, 30 and 44, which is around about 9 lengths slower than what Dinah Maddie ran. But she struck all sorts of trouble. And I'm tipping that Cash in Motion, with an even beginning on Saturday night, she can cause an upset in the Futurity.
All right, so you mentioned $6.50. Dinah Maddie's the favourite there at $2.50 in the Futurity. The Derby tells us that Sprightly Dancer and Nengar Flame are joint favourites. But, gee, there's a few in the market. Jug, it's an open race.
Well, have a look at the market, Ben.
Yeah.
The favourites, as you said, Sprightly Dancer and Nengar Flame at $4.60. The Ruffy is Pedro Serrano, trained by Johnny Little, at $10.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you've got a market that is compressed as that, it does tell you that this is a really open race. And the fact is that between five greyhounds, there's around about a length and a quarter in the run to the first turn. And we know with greyhound racing that quite often the case, he who leads or she who leads at the first turn in more than 60% of races, they go on and win it. I'm tipping a greyhound that's probably going to be in the tail of the field at the first turn, because I think there could be carnage. And I think Nengar Flame from box seven, trained by Dennis Barnes, again, another high-speed greyhound that just races without a little bit of luck in these feature races. In the Pools of Thunder final, he had box one. He came out on his head and missed the start 8 lengths before flashing home to finish fourth. Last week, a really good run to finish second. And I just think that, you know, when you've got the likes of Pedro Serrano, Diego Bale, As a Killer Queen, Sprightly Dancer, Magic Spring, they're the greyhounds drawn boxes 2 to 6. They can all run around the 5:40 to the first mark. Well, if all of them jump on turns with each other, it could be a demolition derby. And I think that Nengar Flame can get the right run behind them. And again, it's a greyhound that's got plenty of ability. The fastest qualifier, Good Odds Ocker, who ran 29.67 last week, is a $7 chance, primarily because it's drawn box 8 in the race.
Okay. All right, so Nengar Flame in the Derby, it's at 4.60. It's one of the joint favourites there. And in the Futurity, Duke's on Cash in Motion, which is number 4, currently 6.50. Big
yes.
coverage on Saturday night, Sky Racing and Sky Sports Radio, Duke. And, of course, Gareth Hall will be at Melton for the running of the Victoria Cup, so we'll have it all covered on both Sky Racing and Sky Sports Radio.
be a terrific night, Ben. 30-1 that double, and I've already taken it. God give it strength.
God give it strength. Good luck to you, mate. We might talk between now and Saturday night. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, mate.
Mark Duclos there from Going Greyhounds, and surely that TV Greyhound show has to come back. The best ofs have been running for a number of weeks. Duke, we need to see you back on a Tuesday with Dave. That's it for Racing HQ.